Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome, everybody. Grace Tabernacle Bible Study. We'd like to welcome everyone that's listening all over the world, everyone that's over in England and Germany and the Nassau, Bahamas, and everyone that's listening here in the United States, and to all our Praise Tabernacle family, everybody that's listening tonight, we just want to say welcome and thank you for tuning in tonight. And we just want to give God some glory tonight. And I'm your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV, on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and Lady Zachary. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Bible study tonight, to our weekly Bible study that we hear every week, every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We have another dynamic speaker tonight, a guy that we've become friends and we have a lot in common. And I think the more I talk to him, the more I realize how much more things we have in common. He's a good friend, and we just want everybody to tune in and listen in tonight and get a word from the Lord. And before I introduce him, we're going to do a prayer before we lead in to the word. And Elder Oliver will be our speaker tonight. And Elder Oliver, once I'm done with the prayer, it'll be in your hands, sir. Lord, we thank you for the glory and honor. We magnify your holy name. We honor you tonight, Lord God. We pray that a word will come from you through the man of God, Lord God, and that your will be done tonight, that you will touch the hearts and minds of the people, everyone that's listening tonight, wherever they may be, Lord God, whatever situation they may find themselves in tonight, they may hear a word from you. That we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord God. We exalt you tonight. And we give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father Oliver, it's on you, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Elder Taylor. I just want to say thank you for the introduction. And yes, not only are we Stiller fans, me and Elder Taylor, you know, we both come from Ohio. So, yeah, we do got a lot in common. We do got a lot in common. So the more and more as I'm learning each and every elder and deacon and everything, and me and Elder Taylor, we kind of fit the same mode a little bit. So I appreciate that, and I just thank the Lord for putting not just only Elder Taylor, but all the other elders and deacons. I think we got Elder Bluette on the line, I'm being told. So Elder Bluette, are you there? If you're there, just say amen. All right. Okay. So when I get started, if y'all need to stop me, because y'all know once I get going, it kind of kind of snowball over, and I just keep it going. But I just want to thank the Lord for allowing me to share the word one more time with everybody. As Elder Taylor stated, about the listeners, everyone that's listening in, whether you called in on the phone line or whether you're listening through Blog Talk Radio online, we just want to thank you for supporting us, and thank you for tuning in tonight, because you could be doing other things. And I just want to, hopefully I can bring forth a word that will encourage you and uplift you tonight. I won't be long tonight. I'm going with a very familiar story that I like to talk about Zacchaeus tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Luke, the 19th chapter. And we're going to start with verse 1, Luke 19 and 1. And before I start reading that, it's very important, and I'm talking to the saints tonight, 2021, I believe our ministry ought to be to the people that are lost and trying to find their way, trying to find Jesus. And there's a certain way we have to handle certain things, and we have to minister to these people who are looking for Christ, because if we don't, we're going to lose. And it seems to me, and it's just my opinion, the church is losing out to other religions, to other practices, because we got away from doing what we were called to do. And I'm just going to share a few verses tonight, and we're going to talk about it, and hopefully we can grow and we can understand what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. And I like using Zacchaeus because the perfect example is Jesus and how he ministered to the lost, and what he did when he was ministering to the lost. And it's very important that we take these tools that I'm about to share with you through the Word of God. This isn't my opinion. This isn't my philosophy. This is coming straight out of the book. And you will see right here in black and white what the Word says, how we deal with sinners. Amen? So with that being said, we're going to start with Luke chapter 19. Starting with verse 1, and I'm going to read all 10 verses, and I'm going to get started. And it's very familiar. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came into this place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, and all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save what was lost." I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. When you do the background check on Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector. And what he would do was he would collect taxes, and he would skim off the top and return it to the Roman government. He would go and take taxes. He was skimming off the top. So he was a crook. The Bible calls him a sinner. But it also says that he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. And right there, that's very important that we understand what the sinner is saying. He wanted to see Jesus for who he was. And it says that just want to make sure I got it right now. In verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press. Here we have a man that's wealthy, rich, stealing from the poor, was a sinner, and he wanted to see Jesus. There comes a point that people want to see Jesus, but because of their sin, it stops them from trying to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. He wanted to know him. And the Bible says he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. He didn't want to know all the people around Jesus. He didn't want to know the policies of Jesus. He just wanted to know Jesus. And it says that he couldn't because of the press. Now, King James uses the word depressed, the crowd. The crowd, the press is the crowd, the people that was around Jesus. And we know off the top, 12 of the people around Jesus was his disciples. I call them church people, people who know better, people who know Christ, people who know how to get a prayer through. Those are his disciples. And around the crowd that was following him, people who just followed him, just to be following him because they were just nosy. They just wanted to see who Jesus was about. But this man, Zacchaeus, wanted to know Jesus. And the Bible says because of the press, the crowd blocked him from seeing Jesus. So where are you going with this, preacher? What I'm saying, sometimes people in the church can block sinners from seeing Jesus because we want to present church policies to the sinner, and we don't want to present Jesus to the sinner. Oh, I know this is going to make a lot of people mad. Yeah, we want the policy of what we belong to. You know, we want to give them the rules and the regulations of how we feel and what we think and all. It ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. On second Sunday, we dress this way. On what we have all these rules we have. This man didn't want to follow none of them rules. He just wanted to know Jesus. And this is why the church is losing, because we want to give people the policies and what we think and how we feel people should be instead of introducing them to Jesus. And he got so sick of the press, he had to climb up into a tree to see Jesus. He had to get away from them. Sometimes, church, we've been in church so long, we think our way is the best way because we've been saved, sanctified, filled with, we know how to do. And all is very simple because it's laid out here. The sinner wanted to see Jesus. He didn't want to hear Elder Oliver. He didn't want to hear Elder Taylor. He wanted to see Jesus for who he was. So when you got to make up in your mind, because in 2021, when sinners come before us, we can't give them our policies. We can't tell them what we are about. We have to introduce them to Jesus. Before I go on, anyone want to say anything?
Yeah, I'd like to add something, Elder Oliver. This is very good. We want to give people religion and not Jesus right away. We want to give, like you said, the rules and the religious jargon that we do in church, and we want to church them first. We want to get them religion. I can't even think of the word I want to use, but we want to use religion on them first, you know. And that's, like you said before, that's why we're losing people, because they're looking for something different. They're looking for something that's stronger. They're looking for something that's going to draw them. And only Jesus can do that. Not me, not you, not no preacher, not no evangelist, not no. The Lord will use us, but the power is from him, and that's what draws the people. It's the power of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. And if we show them Jesus, and if they can see Jesus through us, and not the religious jargon, the this is first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, we do all these different things. You know, let's give them Jesus. Let's let them understand who Jesus is and what he's about, you know, first, before we get into all the others. You know, so I just wanted to add that.
All right. We're going to move on. Elder Beloit, you have anything?
Just a couple of comments. The way you started out, you know, it's kind of weird and actually uncomprehendable how somebody can be in church for so long and go through all the religious routines. And then when somebody comes in new, and you talked about dressing and how we look and all that, and not look like us, come in as they are, we already got preconceived thoughts. And then when that person or persons want to help the church and take up a position that we knew was available but didn't volunteer, we want to be jealous and have things to say about that person that came in to work. First of all, seeking Jesus as Zacchaeus did. So we talk about church folk a lot, and we got to be careful because a lot of folk ain't church folk, but there are some church folk, if I can put it that way, that we need to change our thoughts, our mentality, treat the church as a hospital where some are in the emergency room, some are in the recovery room, and some of us are even in the general rooms waiting to be discharged. So we have to take into account that whoever's in church is at fault of them own selves looking for somebody that can save themselves. So, but this is a great chapter to look at tonight.
Amen. All right, thank you all for those comments. We're going to be moving right along. And one of the things that I like to say is when we people come into the church, regardless whether they're old saints, new people, regardless who they are, we all ought to have the mindset to see Jesus when we come in. The only reason we're coming to church is to get closer to Jesus, to praise him for allowing us to see another day. We all got some type of issues that we need to take up and get closer to Jesus. So I ought not be looking at you differently than you're looking at me. But sometime in the church that we live in today, I'm not saying all churches, I'm not saying all members are like this, but sometime we look at people and we look at their condition and we want to judge them, even in the pulpit. Even the members, we want to judge them because we either heard something about them whatever the issues may be. And just like in this scripture that I'm reading now in verse 5, it says, in verse 5, and when Jesus came to this place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. See, this is what we ought to do, because if we have Christ in us, when we see it and we see people come in and we see that they're hurting and we see that they're struggling, it's up to us if we're in tune to the Spirit and if we're being led and guided by the Spirit, we will see it. And then we want to take the individual, we want to go to their house. I didn't say come to my house. We want to go to their house because when you go to their house, they're comfortable. In their house, in our house, which, you know, I don't want to get too far out of this. In our house, we got a lot of make-believe. See, Jesus was around them disciples and around everybody else who made the sinner feel uncomfortable that he had to remove himself from the crowd and go up into a tree by himself. And see, sometimes when you get in the church, we get, and the sinners get uncomfortable with us. Because we're so saved, sanctified, like we don't know what sin is, like we never sinned before. So they get uncomfortable, so they remove themselves. And when they remove themselves, the crowd started mumbling that Jesus was going to the house of a sinner. Now listen to me now. These are the same people that saw Jesus, that knew Jesus, and knew what he was capable of. But now because he was going with someone that didn't look like the disciples, I can say, looked like the crowd, now they want to throw Jesus under the bus and say he was going to the house of a sinner. not knowing what was going on. Jesus was doing ministry, going into the sinner's house where he felt comfortable. Because when he got to the house, and I'm getting ahead of myself, when he got to the house, the sinner made his own confession. Jesus never said one word to him. He sat there, and the man made his own confession. Jesus didn't have to quote scriptures. Jesus didn't have to tell him to turn himself around. Jesus just sat there and had dinner with him. He made his own confession. But what he had to do was get away from the crowd. And King James says, press. And you know, people are always on the attack the church, but I like the word press. Because sometimes when you go to church, you can get depressed. You can get compressed. They squeeze you real tight. You just want a bus compressing you. And sometimes they can depress you because you're not like them. And they want to tell you a million ways of how to change your life. When, if I'm not mistaken, the only one that can change Zacchaeus' life is Jesus. So when the sinners come to church on Sunday, the only one that can change them, they don't want to hear from Elder Oliver. They don't want to hear from Elder Blewett. They don't want to hear from Elder Taylor. They don't want to even hear from the bitch. They want to hear from Jesus. There's a difference.
Yes, sir.
Because if I give him my opinion, I'm going to tell him you should do this, do this, and do this. Elder Blewett going to tell him you should do this, do this, and do this. Now he's confused because he's getting all these different things from different people, and we're not giving him the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. So in 2021, we are to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to this man's house and had dinner with him. He just sat there. That's all he did. He didn't touch him. He didn't put no oil on him. He just sat there with him where he was comfortable at. And everyone else around Jesus was mumbling and talking and gossiping. Don't know why he was going to this man's house. And that's what I love about Jesus, because he teaches us in a very subtle way. I'm going to go to his house. He's going to make his own confession, and I'm just going to sit there and just lead him to salvation. And the man said, if I done anything, Jesus never mentioned anything that the man did. Watch out there. See, he never mentioned about him stealing or skimming off the top or treating people bad. Jesus never said a word about what his sins was.
This is present.
I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to let y'all meditate on that for a minute. He didn't say anything about what he was doing. The man said, I will give it back. Jesus never responded with an answer. He said, you ain't got to give nothing back. You ain't got to do nothing. But today, today. And see, we ought to stop trying to tell people to stop doing what they're doing and give them a today. Jesus is going to be with you today. You ain't got to stop doing this, doing that, doing this. Now, what I say, you don't have to stop. What I'm saying is once you introduce them to Christ, let the Lord lead them and tell them how to stop doing what they're doing. Because what's easy for you may be hard for me. And what's hard for me may be easy for you. So we're different people.
Right.
We're going to be at different levels.
Right.
So you can't sit up here and say because a person is drinking, oh, well, they don't want to be saved because they're drinking. That's an issue for them. Until they get convicted, the Lord will work with them about that. All we got to do is continue to pray that the Lord will give them the chastisement or chastise them. I wanted to give someone a piece of my mind last week. I couldn't do it. And the Lord chastised me for even wanting to do it because I've grown.
Yeah.
Then there's been time. I haven't always been there. Sometimes I would have done it. But now that I'm growing, it's not because I'm super spiritual. It's not because I'm growing. Every day I'm in Bibles, I get a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. And with the issues that I was having over the week, it was just preached by Lady Zachary about a thorn in your side. You can't always, you have to go through something. And it's the Lord will convict you when he's ready. When he's ready to move that thorn, he will move it. We can't move it. Whatever sins people going through, the Lord will move it from them. We can't judge them. We can't talk about them. All we can do is love them and go to their house and let them make their own confession. Anyone got anything they want to say?
Yes, sir. No, you good, Doc.
All right. And when I said the man said he was going to make his own confessions, and Jesus just sat there with him to have dinner. What we have to understand, and I got another scripture I want to go to real quick, and this is where we have to learn. It's another familiar scripture. It is just a cross-reference. You don't have to turn there. But it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, are become new. We got to understand when we're ministering to the sinners, when we're ministering to people who are struggling, that some of the stuff that they're going to go through, is some of the stuff is old. And we got to understand that, you know, it's passed away. Old things are passed away. The things that they were going through is going to be passed away. It may not all go away at one time, but it's going to eventually be passed away. Behold, the new them. Because when you become in Christ, you become a new creature. You're going to develop new ways. It may not happen overnight. Sometimes it will. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes you're going to have to struggle with some sin. You're going to have to struggle with some weight. You're going to have to. It's our job as believers to help you with the struggle, not judge you, not look down upon you. This crowd looked down upon this man because he was a sinner and he was a crook. And they didn't want to see him get the newness on him, because if they did, they wouldn't have been mumbling when Jesus went to his house. And I know for a fact, I've been in church my whole life. I'm not going to say I've been in every church. I can't say that. But in majority of the churches I saw, when sinners come in, church folks get nervous. They get nervous. They don't know how to handle the sinner. And sometimes, and I can only imagine, when this man was sitting in front of Jesus, Jesus didn't give him that look of what he was doing was a shock. You know, how some of us, I'm not going to say all of us, I used to be one of these elders, be shocked when you hear about certain sin, shocked when you hear a curse word, shocked when you see some sin, like I'm all deep. I'm not all that deep. And that's how we act sometimes when we go to church. Like, we're so holier than thou that we don't know what sin is. And we was just sinners a little while ago. I don't care how long you've been saved. You ain't been saved long enough because you're not perfect. You have heard and seen some type of sin in your life. And if you've been delivered from it, you can't act brand new to it when someone comes in that wants to have that newness of life that we have to give them. And in 2021, as a church, we ought to embrace when the sinners come into the church and not act all stuck up and act like we got it all like that and we better than everybody else. Or when you hear a sinner cuss, you act like, oh, you can't do that around me, or you can't. But yet and still, if you saved, sanctified, and delivered, and you walking with the Lord day in and day out, how are you going to minister to them? And this is why I'm talking about the policies of the church. The church has so many policies, people don't want to see the policies. They just want to see Jesus. And if you can see Jesus for who he is, you'll be able to make that transition a whole lot better and not be like the press, the crowd, that will make you feel like you don't belong. And as I keep talking about Zacchaeus, it says in verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house. This day, salvation has come to his house. We didn't see no tricks. We didn't see no gimmicks. We just saw Jesus, who didn't really say a whole heck of a lot to this man. He didn't tell the man, stop stealing. He didn't say, he just said, today. And I want to know, what is your today? When is going to be your today? You can't just stop sinning like that and turn yourself around and everything is going to be okay. That's not the way it works. When you accept him, there are going to be some struggles. when you accept him, there's going to be some type of adversary that's going to come against you to make you think that you're not saved. You're going to come across uppity Christians. You're going to come across some things. But Jesus is saying this day, salvation has come to your house. Now, I'm not giving no one a license to go out there and say that you can sin and do this and do that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is once people come in and accept Christ, let Christ clean them up at Christ's pace, not at Praise Tabernacle pace, not at Elder Oliver's pace, not at none of the deacons or the elders' pace, but at Christ's pace, because everyone is different. Everyone's walk is different. We all going to the same place, but sometimes we got to go a little different route. My route might take me through the city. Elder Bluette's route might take him through the highway. Elder Taylor may be flying in. We don't know how we get there because everyone's relationship with Christ is different. The Lord talked to me differently than he talked to Elder Bluette, but the same thing is we're still doing the same word. We still have the same Bible. We have the same Christ, but everything is done a little bit differently. And that's what we got to understand because everyone's sin is differently. I didn't have a drug and alcohol problem coming up. That wasn't my issue. That may have been Elder Taylor's issue. Or Deacon Bluette, or Elder Bluette's issue. That wasn't my issue. Elder Bluette may have been in the street. He may have been a hood rat. That was his issue. That wasn't Elder Oliver's issue. I grew up in the church. I was one of them uppity church people. That was my issue. I was in church every Sunday, just looking at folks, talking about folks. Oh, I don't do that. I don't do that. Thinking I'm perfect and better than everybody else. That was my issue. So some of y'all can relate to that issue that I had, and some of you can't relate to it because you didn't grow up in the church. I got saved like 15, 20 times as a little kid. Every Sunday I was up there accepting Christ as my personal Savior. Just because it was a religious thing for me to do. Every Sunday, my father would call up, who's going to be saved today? Me and my brother faithfully got up and went up there every Sunday. And every Sunday, people would hug us and say all this. But until we got serious with it, that's when the change came. We was playing with it at first. But when we got serious, you knew that day when you got serious with the Lord and change started to happen. You started to feel something. That chastisement came in to get you. And let me say something to you. Chastisement isn't a bad thing. It's when he stops chastising you is when it's a bad thing. But if the Lord is chastising you and whooping you and getting on you, that's a good thing because he still loves you.
Yes,
I'm going to say that again. People think that God chastised you or punish you that it's a bad thing. No. I'm still in the communication line with him. He's still talking to me. One of the things about, you know, I think all parents can say that we love our kids. We're going to whoop them. We're going to train them up. We're going to do what we got to do because we love them. And then sometimes there's nothing once you get to a point, you got to say enough is enough. I can't do no more. Lord, you deal with it.
That's right. That's right.
So if you're being chastised by the Lord, don't look at it as a bad thing. I look at it as a good thing. I wanted to say something so bad, and the Lord chastised me, but I had to catch myself. So the chastisement was warned. The chastisement was good. I needed it because now I had to get myself together, regroup. Now I can move on. Anyone have anything they want to say?
I will say you're talking right tonight. You're talking right. Our upbringing, it's just what we had to deal with and how we come to age and get serious about this thing is just a testimony to those we're going to run into or who God puts in our path. But we have to take our mouths off of other people. We can't just conclude that they are such and such or they're in a certain position. We can't, and I said earlier, we can't have a preconceived notion or a thought that somebody is this way or the other. And just as Jesus accepts people as they are, we find it hard for ourselves to do that behind our preconceived notions. We find ourselves hard to do that. And if we want to be Christ-like and we're created in his image, we have to follow every letter of the word. And we tend not to do that. We tend to pick what we can easily do in the word of God. When we have to accept the whole, we have to accept the whole word of God and keep it moving. We can't be partial in our attempt to help somebody. We can't be partial in our thinking. We have to accept the whole word of God and work the whole word of God. And as you were saying earlier, it's hard for people to come to us when we're dealing with a partial mind on the word. It's hard for people to get an understanding if we can't relate to them where they are in their life. Great teaching tonight, great lesson, and you are absolutely on point.
Man, thank you. Thank you. Elder Taylor, you have anything?
No, I would be just reiterating what Elder Blewett said. You know, we have to be approachable as men and women of God, as people who say they love Jesus, as people who say they worship the Lord, as people say they are Christ-like. But, you know, inside, you know, we got our own battles going on, and, you know, and we just have to be approachable to the world, to a sinner man. We have to be like Zacchaeus. He went looking for Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, you know, and that's the way we ought to be. People ought to want to come and see and talk to us. People ought to want to come and hear what we may have to say. People should be able to look at us and see Christ's life in us, so that we're approachable, you know. And because, like I tell people at work all the time, I'm no different than you. And most people know I'm a minister, but I tell them I grew up in the church too. My father was a pastor, you know, and so I grew up in the church just like you, Elder Oliver. But I knew the way, but I didn't always go the way. And so I've been through a lot of stuff in my life, and you know, and that's what I share with people. And I try not, like Elder Blewett said, you know, we can't look down upon people. You know, we have to share our stories, because our stories are important to people that don't know the Lord, and it will encourage them, because they see what the Lord is doing in our life, and we can share our stories with them, and that encourages them. God can do that for them. If God can do that for her, then surely he can do that for me. And if we just stay humble-minded and not haughty and think we're better than, you know, because Jesus, this is a perfect example, because he never thought he was better than. Even though he knew he's the Son of God, he never thought that he was better than, you know, to go to this man's house and to sup with him, to eat with him. And like you said, Elder Oliver, he never said a word about his sin, but just his very presence and him being as humble as he was, Zacchaeus just started telling on himself, just started repenting, you know, and that's the way we have to be. Because the only Jesus that people will see is in us.
Hey, Elder Oliver. Elder Oliver.
Yes, sir.
Got one more thing, and I'll let you go ahead and let you get us out of here. The now both of you guys grew up in the church, and it's weird. Now, I didn't grow up in the church. I was in the streets selling drugs. I was with gangbangers. I was in South Central Los Angeles. So, and I'm gonna tell you, and it's good on tonight that you're teaching this, because when I couldn't get to a certain level. And I know it's now that God would not let me reach a certain level in selling drugs. And things started to happen in my life where it was crumbling. And I gave it up, decided to turn my life around. It was people that would not accept me because they knew how I was. And I was ruthless. They knew how I was, but they didn't accept that I had changed. and I wanted to do right by God now. And when I joined a church that I didn't know nobody in, and the first day I went to that church, I sat in the very back pew. It was a huge church, too, a big church. And the second Sunday I went, I sat in the middle. The third Sunday I went, I sat on the front pew. And that was the day they was asking who wanted to give their life to Christ. And I gave my life to Christ at that time, cutting out the people I wanted to be around that would not accept me for the change I had in my life. And that's the thing now that we have, that we forget our upcoming. We forget who right. we was. We forget right. how we was. We forget how it feels to be not accepted. And we do that today and not accepting people as they are when they come to church or when they come to see God or when they looking to go up in a tree or do whatever they have to do in their life to be to see God or to be around God. We, the people, are breaking the branches that they're even sitting on to see God coming.
Wow, that's good.
So our upbringing can have our mindset to accept people for who they are when you know yourself you wouldn't accept it for who you are. So the same like mm-hmm. compassion that we have in our life from our upbringing can teach us how to be, even as adults, how to accept people.
Yeah.
See? That's and right. it's a bad yeah. feeling to feel unaccepted. I know that personally. So yeah. I had to forget people and stop trying to look at people to be accepted and had to look to God to be accepted of Him right. and let Him place me on this earth in a different part of the United States where it wasn't nobody I knew, but it was who I was making friends with and to become a. It's a long story, but.
No, we feel you, Doc. I know exactly where you're going. I know
story.
Exactly where you're going.
It's a long story.
Man, that's
but
good.
We gotta,
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what you're saying is so true because we all come from different parts of the circle. We come from different parts. Me being in the church, you being in the street. And as you were talking, I'm reminded myself when I was young in the church, I looked down on people like you coming into the church. I ain't saying it to boast or brag, but that's just how it was. Oh, he's a sinner. Oh, he did this. He did this. He could never be in my place. He could never tell me anything about life. And see, that's where we make the mistakes as Christians. And I made the mistake very early in life. Because yet and still, I learn a lot from people in the streets. The same people I was condemning thought that I was better than. And then when the shoe got turned around, or like my daddy used to say, when the rabbit get the gun, how do you feel? When you got to go up against some hard times, some issues, it's different. And it's really the same thing. It's just situations are different. We're praying to the same God. We're asking for the same forgiveness. We're trying to go the same route. It's just your route was different than my route. It is no difference because we're still brothers. We still got bleed the same color. But now in the church, and I lived that life, and I was convicted for living that life, thinking I was better than everybody else. Now me, I much rather listen to someone that was on the street before. Their story is a lot. When I say richer than mine, they had to survive. I had a silver spoon put in my mouth. I like to think I was from the hood. And you may hear me say I was from the hood. I wasn't nowhere near the hood. But at the same time, the people who was, you know, a bad day for me was instead of eating a chicken breast, I had a chicken wing. You know, I didn't grow up on syrup sandwiches like some people, you know. So when it comes to people saying they had it rough, I didn't have it that rough. And sometimes I act like I do. I act like it sometimes. But no, I never had it that rough. But when you see people whose life has been transformed because Jesus, and they allow Jesus to accept them, that's a testimony. So when I get in trouble, in the little trouble I was getting in, it's easy for me to be like, if he can do that for Elder Blouette, why can't he do it for me? You know, and it's the same. So when people come into the church, we have to stop And I'm a witness because I used to be one of these people to look at people and be like, oh, he got some issues. Oh, don't let him too close to the pulpit. We'll come out there to him. He can't get too close to me. Don't hug my shoes. I don't want to get this. I was that person. But now that I've grown up and I talked about Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus had to get away from everybody. And when you get away from everybody, you can just see you and Jesus. So now when I look in the pulpit, I just see Jesus. I don't see nobody's faces. I just see Jesus. And when someone who comes that don't know Jesus, there ought to be a little twinkling in your spirit if you're connected to him, and we ought to be able to minister Jesus to them and not be all sanctified and acting like we better than them, because we're not. So it's very important as we move on in 2021, when people come into the doors, we ought to not see them for who they are. We ought to see them for Jesus. The same way Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and told him to come down and went to his house. Now, everyone ain't strong enough to go to everybody's house. I'm not telling you to go to everybody's house. I'm talking about the ones that are that's able to go to someone's house and not judge them when you get there because they pull out a cigarette, or judge them because you smell alcohol on their breath. Okay, that might be the day that they accept Christ, and you can't be looking at all that, because just as messed up as they are, we messed up too. I'm gonna say that again, and I'm gonna get ready to close. We're just as messed up as they are. We just hide our sin a little bit better than they do. We don't talk about our sin like they do.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why it's important when people start coming in, and I'm just saying this, praise tabernacle. People are going to slowly start coming in. And if we're not ready to receive them, if we're not ready to minister to them, if we're not ready to sit there and have dinner with them, we're going to lose them. And I'm not saying give them the policies. I'm not saying give them policies. I'm not saying, okay, you got to hokey post, turn yourself around, and everything going to be all right. I'm not saying any of that. Let's just show them Jesus. And when we show them Jesus, Jesus and me, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Tatum. When I come to church, I don't see Elder Blewett and I don't see Elder Taylor. I see the Jesus in them. And the Jesus in them sees the Jesus in me. Then we can agree, because we're not looking at each other's sin. We're not looking at each other's sin. If there's something wrong with me and Elder Blewett want to give me a word of encouragement, that's helping me. That's not judging me. If I see something and I feel the blood and he's lifted up in prayer, I can lift him up in prayer. I'm not talking about his sin. The reason you're going through this is because of this. No, that ain't the reason. I don't know the reason because I'm not Jesus. But I will tell you this. Jesus can fix it quicker than anybody else can, whatever it is.
That's right.
And I'm giving them Jesus and I'm not giving them Derek. Derek's way is be like, and I had to learn this the hard way, and I kind of shared this with Elder Taylor on Sunday. With my son, I had to learn. I have to let him go and learn on his own. Now he's coming back to me, asking me. If I would force it down his throat, he wouldn't like it. If everything that I said to him that he was doing wrong, you're doing this wrong, I did that, and it created an issue between father and son, because now I wouldn't let him grow up. I'm telling him, go this way, go that way, go this way. And he felt like his way was the wrong way. Even though it was the wrong way, he had to learn it for himself. And because himself, and I had to learn, okay, let him go and be there for him when he needs you. It was the hardest thing I had to do, but this past year has been a great year, because now instead of me going to him, he comes to me asking me about this, that, and the other. It's the hardest thing as a parent. But also as being a minister, an elder in the church, I can't go to everyone that I know that's not living right and tell them you need to do this and do that. Let them come to me. And when they come to me or come to you, then you have the tools to minister to them like Jesus did. And Jesus didn't say nothing. They made their own confession. Elder Taylor, I hope y'all got something out of this tonight. I hope that you enjoyed the word tonight. I hope that you can understand tonight that if you seeking for salvation, all you got to do is look for Jesus. And when you look for Jesus, he will be the one that will guide you, strengthen you. And the only way you can get Jesus' word is you got to be in a word church in order for that to grow, in order for you to become that Christian he wants you to be. All you got to do is accept it, believe it, and walk. And if you can do that, you can have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope you learned something from this, and I'm going to let the two elders give their final shots, and I believe Elder Taylor will take us home. Go ahead, Elder.
All right. Elder Blewett, you want to say anything else before we close out?
No, not really. I've said too much already. So great lesson, in-depth teaching, real-life experiences, pretty much teach us all and what we actually go through and able to even speak about it. A great lesson. I did the same thing with my two sons. I had to give it over to God because I gave them a foundation. Now, they were raised in the church, but I wasn't. But I gave them a foundation that they have fell back on now, that they're doing very good. But great lesson, identifying ourselves, who we are, and who we need to be in Jesus Christ. Great lesson.
Thank you.
All right. I like to add, it's a scripture that came to mind, you know, when Elder Oliver was talking, and it was, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And
amen.
And that's what it's going to take, the love of Jesus. And if people have to understand and see that love in us, so that, like I said before, so that we are approachable and that we can share our story with a particular individual, and that we can tell them, look, hey, I know, I feel you. I believe that's why so many of us go through so many different things, so we can be a point of contact for so many different other people. Because, like Elder Blewett said, that he was a gangbanger, he was a hustler, he did this, that, and the other. Whereas a lot of those gangbangers out there that he gonna be able to have, he could talk to, he can identify with. With me, I couldn't. I had friends that did that stuff and that I was around when I got grown and older. But I didn't do that myself. So I really couldn't identify. I can't really identify with that totally. You know, there's things that I've been through. I was a whoremonger, you know, and that's just simple as that. And you know, like a lot of us probably was, in church, on my way to hell, in church, through the church. So it's so important that we humble ourselves and help meet the need of the people, and that we are transparent, and that, you know, because we encourage them, because they can see where we are today and be like, wow, God did that for them. You know, so that's just where we have to be, with love and kindness, and be transparent and be humble. And not only to the world that's coming in, but to each other as well. To encourage each other as well. You know, so it was a great word tonight, Elder Oliver, really on point, sound teaching, you know, and it's always, I get a little nugget every time, you know, you should always be able to find something that you can draw from. And I find something every time I hear any one of my brothers or sisters teach or preach the word at any time. And great word tonight. And I just pray that the Lord will encourage you and your family and your home. And to everybody that's listening tonight, I pray that you got something, you know, from the word tonight, something that Elder Oliver may have said, something that I may have said, or something that Elder Blewett may have said tonight that could encourage you, that will encourage you through the love of Jesus Christ. And we just want to encourage everyone to keep on pushing. And so there's no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ. And we hope that we can be a ministry of people that anyone and everyone can come to and be drawn to because of the love and kindness that we show
to each other and to anybody that comes into the ministry, regardless of what your background is, regardless of where you come from, what you have done in your life, what you did the night before, what you did that morning. But Jesus will forgive you as long as we have a repentant heart. So I just want to encourage everybody and thank everybody for listening tonight. And again, encourage the panel tonight, Elder Bluette and his family, and Elder Oliver and his family. And just touch everyone that's listening tonight, Lord God. And we just want to say, Lord, we give you glory. Keep us humble, Lord God. Keep us lifted up that we can continue to serve you, Lord, with your love and mercy and grace and humbleness, Lord God, and that others can see you in us so that we may draw others to you. And we just thank you right now, Lord God. We love you. We pray that you created us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us each and every day, Lord God, as we go forward in ministry, as we go forward in a work for you, Jesus. And we thank you right now. And at this time, we're going to close out, and we're going to use our scripture that we say every time we close out a service, Matthew 28:19-20, and it reads, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Be blessed. On behalf of
Elder Taylor,
Church.
I'm sorry, Elder Taylor.
Sir.
I just got a nugget from one of my engineers. Don't forget about Thursday night.
Right. That's where I was getting ready to go.
Thursday night. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want you to forget about that. All right.
Yeah. Thursday night's Praise Tabernacle will be back at it with Bishop Omar Zachary and family at 7 p.m. Every Thursday night, you can tune in on Blog Talk, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, and Facebook Live with Bishop Omar Zachary and family. And then we'll be right back at it again on Sunday morning at 9:15 at Praise Tabernacle Church, 9:15 on Chaos Blog Talk Radio, and also Facebook Live. Good preaching and teaching and praise and worship from Praise Tabernacle Church. And then the following week, we'll be right back here on Tuesday with another dynamic lesson for Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. And again, on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary, Lady Zachary, we just want to thank everybody that's tuned in and listened tonight. If there be nothing else, we pray that everyone be blessed and have a great week. Amen.
Good night.